Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. All things sports, medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Lower Extremity, LER, Review Magazine, and MVP Parent Magazine, Right Fit, Fitness, Wellness, Performance, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. We've got a great doubleheader today, Kimberly Archie. She's the founder of the National Cheer Safety Foundation. She's an expert witness, legal consultant for the whole youth sports safety world. It's great to have her back, along with Hillary Loftus. Hillary is the healthcare education director for Help Our Wounded Foundation, and she's helping raise awareness of the hyperbaric oxygen concussion treatment successes that they've really, really been pioneering. Then the sports doctor is in your emails. First, let's welcome back Kimberly Archie. Never underestimate the love of a mother. Kimberly, welcome back to the sports doctor.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Give us some background on you and what you're doing in the whole world of youth sports safety.
Well, my history with youth sports goes back to my childhood, where I ran track and was a cheerleader myself. And then I have three children that played sports, a football player, a cheerleader, and a martial artist. And so when my daughter was injured on her high school sideline cheerleading team in 2003, it was sort of my initiation into the youth sport world and understanding the lack of rights for children and really for professional athletes as well. And so over the last 17 years, I've made it my life's mission to fight for the rights of athletes from kids to the pros on health and safety and name, image, and likeness. Unfortunately, 6 years ago, I lost my son, Paul, who was the football player, and he was found to have CTE or chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And we do a lot of work in that area with our group Faces of CTE.
You know, Kimberly, the rarity of the end game CTE found in retired old National Football League players being found in a young, vibrant teenager was shocking. Is shocking. And the other side of the equation, which was some of the best athletes I've seen over the decades, have been cheerleaders. Really tremendous athletes. And it's so physical. Everybody knows, when they see on the sidelines. But the safety issue in the head injury area and in the overuse of the injury area just wasn't getting anywhere near the attention that it really, really deserved. And, of course, they've come a long way, baby. I think you can really be proud of yourself. Although in the world of youth sports safety, like we say on the Sports Doctor for the past 30 years, give or take a few weeks, you know, man, we got a long way to go still in so many, different areas. And you're involved in the government and that tremendous participation. So I just really marvel at the kind of perseverance and success you've had in getting the people who count to listen.
Well, thank you. That's definitely our focus right now in the coming year, is to get more folks at the federal level to be paying attention to the issues that impact young athletes. And in particular, we'd like to get a bill introduced called the Sport Health and Safety Administration Act. And what it would do is create an agency like OSHA, but for sports, and would regulate and have the authority and ability to actually punish people who don't follow the rules. Like, for example, if an organization doesn't keep track of registered sex offenders and they continue to allow them to coach kids, they shouldn't be allowed to be a governing body. Or say a coach that doesn't follow concussion protocol repeatedly should not be allowed to coach anymore. And if we had an organization outside of athletics that had just the athletes' rights in mind, I think that we could see some further improvement on some of the things that we've seen improve over the last 10 years. And with all the sports betting that's being allowed, I think that taxing sports betting to fund this agency is an excellent way to do it.
Oh, that's a great idea. You know, it continues to amaze me that something as success, as sensible, wise, sports medicine-wise, wouldn't be already further along. You know, you really mentioned something right off the bat. You mentioned the rights of these, you know, young kids, these young athletes, or even going up to including at whatever level, and the fact, you know, who's responsible for this, someone on the sidelines knowing what they're doing, and athletic trainers, and the explosion of challenge and awareness in concussions. You know, this has become, there's not a bigger topic in youth sports. And this, of course, goes right along with it. So on the one hand, it amazes me that, you know, we're still banging our head against the wall, pardon my pun, regarding getting this done so that these kinds of great, sensible injury prevention, safety factors are included. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back maybe 10 years, give or take a little bit. Before that, you have to find the reel-to-reel shows. And you could see so many topics and so many great guests from all over the world, locally, internationally, on so many different topics. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll see all sorts of articles in so many different big areas of interest, health, wellness, and fitness. And again, you know, we got a lot of excitement on Twitter as well as LinkedIn. I can't tell you how many guests I get from both of those platforms. Twitter got over 30,000 followers. So if you go to @sportdoc, DOC Radio, you could tune in, you know, fantastic stuff, great guests who mean so much to so many, like Kimberly Archie, who we're talking to, and her title really is never underestimate the love of a mother. And she has really, really, really walked the talk in these areas. What is the website, Kimberly, that people could find out about you and your organization?
They can check out facesofcte.com or nationalcheersafety.com, and each sort of speaks for themselves. One focuses on cheerleading safety and the leadership of cheerleaders and pioneering a lot of the first in sports safety, as well as Faces of CTE, where we focus on the stories of folks who have been processed through a brain bank and found to have CTE from an autopsy.
Well, that's the reality still today, right, which is the fact that CTE, or the end game long-term changes in the brain that cause so many problems that all of us are aware of, and some of these, usually, again, older, retired football players, is only diagnosed in death. And the challenge to somehow try to pay attention, this is why awareness of concussions, this is why taking any concussion problem in kids very, very seriously, they're still trying to determine safe ways to be able, we had so many people on The Sports Doctor, and ways of analyzing, giving us the best chance to send a child back into sports safely and to continue to help identify, you know, what's going on, and this is still a tremendous challenge. How's the cooperation, Kimberly? I would think it's huge in the youth sports world, schools, coaches, parents, going along with what you're talking about.
Well, I think we've come a long ways, like you said earlier, in people's perceptions of, you know, where we're at in esports and the things that we need to do. And so people are becoming more aware of what they need to know as a parent or as a coach. I think some of the more controversial things, like what is the proper age for kids to enter into collision sports, for example.
Great question.
I think we still have sort of two sides going on. And there's
how about never?
A group saying, you know, nobody, you know, Dr. Amalu, for example, you know, no one under 18 should play collision sports. You know, and then you have people who say you can be 5 years old. Pop Warner's age of entry for their collision
You mean they're still around?
Is 5
really?
Years old.
You're telling me they're still around. You see, one of the things that has aggravated lots of people in youth sports, especially youth football over the years, is the sports doctor saying that there just is no safe tackle football, period. It just isn't. And we have to face it. It's one of society's great dilemmas. I've always, you know, what the heck are we going to do with tackle football?
It's a very inconvenient truth. Most people don't know the history of Pop Warner, and that an attorney on Wall Street, after Wall Street went upside down, decided to move back to Pennsylvania, Joseph Tomlin, and created the Pop Warner organization. And so when he tried to compete with 14 to 21 year olds, they really couldn't compete with high school. So it was Pop Warner that lowered the age of entry for kids into collision sports. So previous to Pop Warner, the American Academy of Pediatrics,
and the community as a whole was against kids
playing collision sports before high school.
Even that, you know, what do you think, playing collision sports in high school is safe? Please. The challenge is that a sport like football, which depends on collisions, is a whole different story. You could always have collisions in other sports. There's always going to be injuries. Slide into second base, you got injured. You came down for a rebound, you got injured. Again, hockey, again, where they've got just too many collisions allowed. But the game of football requires the collisions, and the more youth sports science discovers the fact that almost any brain injury is a problem, or almost any concussion, you know, is a brain injury. It's a big deal. So the fact that you have activity into the legal world, and you're an expert, that's got to be a whole different world.
It certainly is, and one of the interesting things in the litigation with Pop Warner is they argued that CTE was an inherent risk, that hitting was a part of football, and that's a risk that we assumed.
Today, I'll say there's not a high school parent who don't understand, quote-unquote, the risk. You know, but we grow up in a society. Come on, we watched the Super Bowl on the couch with our parents, and a lot of us played, and we were all fans, and it's the biggest sport in the world, the United States. So this is good luck to you in, you know, really getting the point across of some of the danger, you know, parts of this. And I'm a football fan, quote unquote. So at the same time, I think it's a very difficult challenge, and I think it's an educational challenge. That's why I really commend the things that you're doing, again, in the areas of, like you said, one of your real specialties, the world of cheerleading. You know, when you see somebody get thrown up in the air like 15 feet, I hope you've been trained to catch them on the way down. Right, Kimberly?
Well, exactly. And, you know, And beyond that, you know, there's an entire aspect of, have you properly trained them in strength and conditioning? Have you done all of the progressions? You know, have you had the proper training? You know, is the organization you're involved with doing the right things to prevent the maltreatment of children? You know, it is certainly a wide open field for things to go wrong when you lack.
I'm glad you pay attention
regulation.
To. I'm glad you pay attention to the abuse of children with coaches. You pay big attention to that. That's always been a big problem. It's a horrible stain on youth sports. And the more awareness, the more we fight for paying big attention to prevent. In my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, I talk about some of these overzealous coaches. I call them Svengali coaches. You know, too aggressive, too much craziness. And we all know sometimes about the overzealous parent on the sidelines. And but you pay real attention to the whole brain health issue, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, all of these issues are important, but one of the things about brain trauma, you know, is you only get one brain and you can't have a brain transplant. So there isn't really a second chance with the brain. And so we want to be able to educate the public in understanding that, you know, every hit counts, whether it's a small hit or a bigger hit that one could think might cause a concussion or some type of brain injury. They're all significant in the fact that it's kind of like a 3D printer. You know, these hits layer on top of each other, and there's a threshold, there's a breaking point to where your brain is going to have a more difficult time functioning at its full capacity. And I often tell people, think about it like a glass of water. You know, every time you get hit, you're losing.
Kimberly,
a drop
give
of
me
water.
The website. Wow, I flew right past it. Give me quickly the website. People find out more about you and your work.
Our website is facesofcte.com.
Facesofcte.com. Kimberly Archie, a real champion in the world of youth sports safety and prevention of concussions. Never underestimate the love of a mother. Kimberly, thank you so much. Hold on, Kim. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we're talking brain health, prevention brain. Here we've got now joining us, returning back, Hillary Loftus. She's the healthcare education director for Help Our Wounded Foundation, and she helps raise awareness of the use of hyperbaric oxygen in treatment in concussions. They're very excited about some of the things that they've been seeing. So, Hillary, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back with you and everyone here.
Great. Let's have you give us some background on you and HOW, Help Our Wounded Foundation.
Sure. So I grew up in Connecticut, basically, and my sport was sailing starting at age 9, and I sailed competitively starting at age 12, and it is a competitive sport. I had a number of siblings, and a number of them were athletes. Three of my brothers played sports, lacrosse, tennis, running. And my sisters, one was a swimmer, one actually played women's ice hockey with a club, and my son played baseball and soccer during high school.
I should have introduced you as Hey Sports Parents.
Right.
Now, your dad is cardiovascular surgeon, right?
Yes, exactly. He was the first cardiovascular surgeon in Stamford, Connecticut back in the day. So growing up, we got to hear about all the latest and greatest innovations in heart surgery around the dinner table. And he was always very excited and passionate about his work and his patients and the new innovations in surgery. And we're talking, I remember hearing about the first pacemakers, first artificial heart. So I feel privileged and excited and honored to actually be on the frontier of brain health. And, you know, brain is now the new frontier, and it's so complex and complicated that it will probably be the frontier for a long time. So I'm excited and honored to be working with all the great, smart, caring, hardworking people that I work with in brain health and hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
What is the Wounded Foundation, Helping Our Wounded Foundation? Are you dealing with veterans and the military?
Well, yes. HOW was actually founded 6 years ago, and it's young but mighty, we say. There are only three of us, but we have a number of wonderful volunteers, including a great college intern team. I mean, they're just the best and the brightest, the most hardworking and ambitious young people. I love working with them. So HOW was founded originally by Mrs. Bryant, who had two brothers who served in World War II. And they came back with battle exhaustion, is what it was called back then. Today we know it as post-traumatic stress. And they were never the same again, and that affected her so much that, when she was able, she had the dream to start something to help veterans. And so 6 years ago, she founded HOW Foundation. And our executive director, Sarah Crane, has her master's in cognitive neuroscience, and she'd had a background in hyperbarics. And it started about a year before I arrived on the scene, and it was all veterans. Actually, there was a professional athlete, a former NFL player, that was treated as well. And it's still a lot of veterans, but we developed, Sarah put me in charge of the concussed athletes and the concussed equestrians a couple years ago. So I really worked to develop that because there's a great need there. But this spring, actually during COVID, we've treated more veterans than we treated last year, even with COVID. I mean, there's, you know, there's more mental health issues that are arising now, and people are, because of the pandemic, people are at home, and there are, you know, other problems. So, and also they have time to come in and get the treatment. So
now, hyperbaric oxygen, Hillary, has been around for quite a while. Some people have seen the chambers. Michael Jackson made it famous. He thought it would keep him young. To enhance healing, to enhance wound healing, to enhance soft tissue, other healing. And that's why it wasn't that big a stretch when I first met you and I listened to what you were talking about, to see the value that hyperbaric oxygen feasibly could be, again, very helpful in healing post-concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the fact, and the from veterans on the left with the traumatic brain injury world, it's a huge population, and athletics, where it's just as huge a population. And the hyperbaric oxygen, you've seen excitement with physicians and some of the different organizations like veterans that you've worked with, that it's become a big weapon in reducing the course of concussions or the extent of concussions. What's been your feedback?
Well, you know, when you said it's been used often for soft tissue injuries, the brain is really a soft tissue. It's
true.
Probably the softest tissue, right? It's just kind of like jello, jelly. So when that brain, soft tissue, bounces around in the skull from, you know, a head hit or a fall or repeated head blows, it gets bruised and damaged. And the brain loves oxygen as, you know, as we do. We need oxygen to survive. And our brains are oxygen hogs, actually. They're only 5% of our size, but they, at best, consume 20% of the oxygen that we breathe in. And when there's a problem with the brain, when it's damaged, it needs much more oxygen to try to function normally and try to repair itself. So that's where hyperbaric oxygen therapy comes in to help the brain, whether it's, you know, issues caused by post-traumatic stress that can lead to depression, and, you know, veterans, we're trying to reduce the veteran suicide. And the same can also happen with athletes. So it leads, you know, when the brain gets damaged because of concussions, they can get depressed and suicidal. And so we're trying to get the concussion at an early stage. We would like to everybody in our country to know, all the sports parents and athletic trainers, athletic directors, and student athletes to know that we use Dr. Daphne Denham's protocol, that if they can get a concussion to hyperbaric chamber within a week of the injury when the inflammation is fresh, all that oxygen is going to reduce the inflammation and the concussion may recover in an average of only 3 sessions. And then they can get back to their academics and their
sports. Dr. Denham was a guest. Dr. Denham was a guest on the Sports Doctor probably a month or two ago, very excitedly talking about, again, exactly what you're talking about. And then, you know, some of the challenges, you know, accessibility, how accessible, like in our country, you know, because hyperbaric oxygen is an expensive unit, isn't it? Usually found in hospitals and some clinics. How's the accessibility now that awareness is growing, Hillary, that, wow, this is helpful?
Well, yes, as you said, any, you know, good high-tech medical equipment is expensive. But let's see, it's there are about 1,500 hospitals across the country that have hyperbaric oxygen therapy chambers used for wound care most frequently, radiation necroses, and 12 other diagnoses that insurance pays for. But to get to get a concussion treated, which is not paid for by insurance, you need to go to an independent hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Yes, Dr. Welcome to the world. Welcome to the world of insurance,
right.
Where we see really right smack in the middle, which changes everything upside down.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, when you talk about 1,200 facilities and be able to be available to deal with concussion treatment, except if it's private pay, it's a whole other big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be one of your real challenges. And I would think as the medical world learns more and more about what you're doing, probably reluctantly, insurance will catch up, do you think?
Right, exactly. And there's so many signs of that happening on the horizon. You know, situations are fluid with healthcare and medical treatment, especially like look at all the new, things that have happened during the pandemic, right? There are drugs that have been used, you know, put into play to help people more quickly than would happen, would have happened before the pandemic. They wouldn't have been approved
as really
quickly.
It changed everybody's life upside down. What's the website people can find out more about HOW?
It's www.HOWFoundationSF.org.
You know, it's interesting, again, the challenge of awareness and education, like Dr. Denham was also talking about, which is to have, as athletic teams, schools, organizations become aware of the fact that this is helpful, then that's going to be something that will increase, you know, the use. But then when you're talking about private facilities, how available is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are HOW Foundation. If somebody wants to find out about private facilities, they can reach out to me because there are about a dozen private facilities
Hold that thought, Hillary. I want to ask you about that. We're talking with Hillary Loftus, Education Director of the Help Our Wounded Foundation, the whole world of hyperbaric oxygen and concussions. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are speaking with Hillary Loftus, education director, Help Our Wounded Foundation. We're talking about hyperbaric oxygen and the excitement around its success in making a big difference in concussions at all levels from veterans to sports medicine. So we're talking about that, and you were mentioning, Hillary, where people could find out more information. I think we're in the middle of your website or information, so give us that information that people could find out about your organization.
Sure. It's www.HOWFoundationSF.org.
Great. And you were talking again about as awareness grows and the ability to identify in youth sports, for example, or high school sports, the challenge of trying to get treatment for a concussion early. And this has been, again, the bottom line, some of the real excitement where you talked about like three different sessions. where somebody, we would start to see some real success. How do they measure that?
Mm-hmm. Good question. So we use FDA-approved CNS vital signs. That's the test that we use. And we do the test before treatment and then after treatment. And it measures a number of neurocognitive aspects and functions, I should say. So you can see the ones that are lower before they start the treatment and how they improve afterwards. So it's really, you know, good data and, you know, good evidence. And then for the veterans, because for the people that have chronic concussions that need at least 40 treatments, these people have been suffering for a long time. Most of them, they're on a lot of medications. They've tried a lot of different treatments that haven't worked. And, you know, they spend a lot of money, time, and been really suffering from them. And so they get 40 sessions, and we do a SPECT scan, which is done. And it can really, it measures the glucose uptake in the brain, and it highlights the areas that aren't working well, that are too low functioning or high functioning, you know, overactive. And then at the end of the 40 sessions, they get another SPECT scan.
And you know, when you and I spoke, yes, when you and I spoke originally, too, we talked about the importance of anything that helps reduce reliance on drugs, which is such a gigantic problem on the veteran side of things. It's just as big a problem in serious sports, which is the reliance on what I call performance surviving drugs, where there's so much pressure to play and coming back from injury. And again, the fact that there are other safe methods of enhancing healing, to me, is a big deal.
Right, and it's very cost-effective, too. If you know, they can, you can get a concussion into a hyperbaric chamber, the average cost is maybe $200 a session, $200, $250, anywhere between $100 and $250, depending upon what part of the country you're in. And that is, you know, $700 for reducing the inflammation and
very reasonable.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
I mean, you it would cost you $150 a day to go to physical therapy today, at
right.
least.
Exactly.
Right. It costs you that much for massage therapy. So I was very pleasantly surprised to hear how reasonable, you know, that is. And, you know, the challenges is getting that information out there. For us, you know, since like private training, you know, if a young athlete is injured, and they go to physical therapy, insurance might cover them. Once they go into the personal training world, they ain't covered. And that's the same philosophy situation that you're facing. And that's why cost effectiveness is a big deal if you can reduce some of these effects. And when I've had some prominent psychologists on the show, Hillary, at the high school level, talking about some of the problems they would see as a result of head injury, contact, concussion, routinely in their population was alarming. When they talked again about some of these different problems. So the ability to have something like the machine might cost $2 million, but it's only $200 a session. Right.
Well, actually, no, it's not that expensive. I mean, that's not as expensive as, it's, I think, top of the line, the facility we use is top of the line Seacrest, and they're $150,000 each.
It's much more to buy an MRI machine. Where are your, where are you, in South Florida?
Yes, we're in South Florida. We're located on the campus of Delray Medical Center. And the facility we use in Delray is Hyperbaric Services of the Palm Beaches. They were the first JCO certified independent facility in the United States. And I think right now there might be two or three other JCO certified facilities. But we do know of a number of, you know, other top quality independent facilities. I think we have a list of 12 now we've developed over the past 4 or 5 years.
Do they stand alone, or are they part of a hospital? Are they in a clinic atmosphere? What type of facility are you talking about? Like, is it a, you know, that's the only therapy that they give, just in general?
Well, it's like a PT clinic. I used to work in the PT world, and speaking of that, I should say that hyperbarics, HBOT we call it, is a wonderful adjunct for any other therapy you're doing. If, you know, someone is doing physical therapy or speech therapy for a stroke. Yes. It works really well. It accelerates that. If they're getting stem cell treatment, it accelerates that as well. So it's really very cost-saving, safe treatment in a lot of different ways. So I'd say the atmosphere is like a clinic. It's kind of like a clinic, but a little bit more warm and homey than that, because they try to make it like that for the veterans that have to come, 40 times every day for 2 months.
How long is a session? If you were dealing with the myriad of problems, let's say, again, the post-concussion, how long is somebody in a session in the chamber?
Mm-hmm. It's about an hour and 20 minutes for the brain. So it takes 10 minutes to get down to pressure. It's 1.5 to 2 times atmosphere pressure, 100% medical grade oxygen. And then you just lie there for an hour and you can watch TV. Mic'd for sound, or sleep or meditate. And then it takes about 10 minutes to get you back up to our regular pressure. So it's not too time consuming. Some people, you can do it twice a day. Some of the veterans or other people do it twice a day. Separated, you have to separate by 4 hours so you don't get too much oxygen.
Yes.
But some people do it that way. But, speaking of concussions, it's such an exciting time to be working with this because there's so many great new things on the horizon for athletes and student athletes. The test to even determine, clinical tests to determine if there's a concussion. You had him on the show who's working on testing saliva on the field.
Hillary, I know. Hillary, we ran over. Give me quickly the website. People can find out about you and all your work.
Sure. It is www.HOW Foundation SF.org.
Great. Thank you so much. We're going to have you back. We want to keep our eye on this great, exciting therapy. Again, Hillary Loftus, Education Director. With this Help Our Wounded Foundation and the whole world of sports medicine concussion awareness. Hold on, Hillary.
Great.
Thank you so much for joining me. Bye back,
thank
everybody.
You.
Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs, or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, RightFit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. RightFit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. RightFit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and this is the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming shows and we answer a few emails and talk about some of the different questions we get from people reading hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Great guest coming up next week, Lou Vickery. Lou Vickery, prolific author. Lou pitched for the Yankees and Cardinals in the 60s. He's been a media guy for decades. He had a great show in the Florida, Alabama area called Lou in the Morning. And I spent over 3 years, once a month, having the sports doctor drop in on Lou in the Morning. So then Noah Perlis. Noah is a man of the arts. He's a businessman. He's also a competitive track athlete in his late 60s, early 70s. So he's going to tell us all about that. The following week, I think from New Zealand, Anthony Sharif the top 2 inches of sport, the whole mental side of things, and then another returning favorite guest of ours in the world of kids yoga, Teresa Power, International Kids Yoga Day, will be joining us. A couple of emails. Again, if you email me, drrwilesportsdoctor@yahoo.com, then we will feature your question. We have so many hundreds. We alternate them. It's always great to hear from everybody. And what do we have here? Betty, you know, I'm 55 years old. I love walking. I have sometimes painful calluses under the ball of my feet. Would podiatry be helpful? You know, Betty, absolutely. You know, podiatry. I have patients, I've seen them 20 years, 25 years, where every couple of months we would trim their painful calluses or corns. A lot of times it's the senior population. Other times it might be the very athletic population. We're getting something done surgically, for instance, is out of the question. Painless smoothing down. Now, this is not a pedicure filing things down. We're talking surgical instruments to be able to pare down a painful callus. Truly, somebody might limp into the office and dance on their way out. So absolutely, they'll also in podiatry help you with some good advice on what might be the best type of walking shoes for you. Terry says, my 13-year-old daughter plays tennis almost every day, and she's been dealing with what they keep calling turf toe. This is the second year already. We've had therapy. You know, the big toe joint is a major part of the foot. Our ability to push off, that's the main area of the foot. It lines up. And there are major tendons and capsules surrounding that joint. The term turf toe, which is not a medical term, came about with artificial surface when players would stop short like on sandpaper and overextend or overflex that big toe, bending it back, bending it under, and there came the term. I'm suspicious as a 13-year-old that we might be dealing with the sesamoids, which is the two movable developing bones under the ball of the foot. So you got to make sure that you get a proper diagnosis of specifically what this is, and you want to look very seriously with the use of custom orthotics, custom devices made most of the time by podiatrists to properly align and redistribute weight to not allow that area to get constantly abused. We might see, for example, your daughter has very high arches, putting excessive pressure on the ball of the foot, might be looking to redistribute it. Your daughter might be very pronated, almost flat-type footed, and the shear force is the problem. So custom orthotic, great news. They are very, very helpful, especially when it's combined with the proper shoe, whatever therapy she might be getting or treatment. Long-term, get at the root of the problem. Scott says, my 11-year-old son, he loves hockey. His feet and his heels have been hurting him since he's 9 years old. We've changed boots. One of his pediatricians mentioned Sievers disease. You know, first of all, Scott, the term Sievers is a good term. Disease is the wrong term. Should be syndrome. There's a large growth center in the back of the heel, growing area. That heel bone matures. The whole back end is in a couple of pieces. As it develops, that's where the Achilles tendon attaches, and it is susceptible to stress. And it could be acute stress. Gee, you know, my son jumped off 3 flights of stairs, or it could be prolonged. Gee, you know, he's playing soccer, she's playing tennis every day, where that area is getting constantly abused. So even in skating, where there's not pounding, there still is excessive pressure. We've had great success over the years by, number one, making sure that your son is in the proper fitting boots, that if he's got problems on the back of the heel, which is common, that there might be an area accommodating that bump in the boot, and look very seriously at orthotics. If his problem is his feet and his heels hurt, orthotics will solve the problem. One of the over-the-counter devices I like a lot in skating for kids is the Superfeet. but you really want to look at podiatry. And the good news is also you must respect what I call intelligent rest. Sometimes you can't push these kids through these kinds of growth-oriented inflammations, but almost always conservative therapy, proper shoes, use of orthotics if the problem is ongoing or persistent. So if Sievers or what we call apophysitis keeps coming back or is repetitive, then you really want to look at orthotics and podiatry to help solve that problem, because many times foot mechanics, how that heel is rotating, is pertinent to why the problem persists. Again, the questions we had with hashtag Hey Sports Parents, which is still available on Amazon, was talking about some of the different areas, the teamwork that goes into real sports medicine in this day and age, in any high level of sports, whether it's youth sports or whether it's professional teams, and the attention to things like nutrition, the attention to things like the mental game and psychology, whether it's for the parents, whether it's for the coaches, which is, hey, we're working with kids here. We want to pay attention to how we're coming across and what our priorities are regarding winning and losing. The reason I co-authored the book with prolific author Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, the reason really was the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physically and mentally. Burnout. We talked about burnout a few weeks ago with one of our guests on The Sports Doctor, where we would see whether it was frontline doctors who were dealing with burnout professionals, or whether it was young athletes who were doing too much too soon, too much emphasis and stress, too much pressure. Hey, they quit. They didn't want to continue. Very famous, the late, great Jim Vickery, sports psychologist, used to say, once it becomes a drill for these kids, once we become critics of these kids, they don't want to do it anymore. So we want to pay big, big attention to the fact that it takes a team approach, looking at the physical side, the mental side, the nutrition side. Hey, hashtag, hey, sports parents. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week. Another edition of The Sports Doctor, live from Chicago.